In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Snap is back. Daniels is chased by Overshown. Throws the ball out. That's intercepted. That ball is picked off only his fourth of the year.
Chauncey Golston.
Golston.
That IV
back from the dead.
The IV must have done him wonders.
How about that?
Brad and Babe with the call on this radio station. It's a Cowboys Monday. Thank y'all for turning it on, leaving it on those of you who are still left out there listening with Thanksgiving week upon us. The Cowboys go into Washington and get the 34-26 unbelievable, unforgettable win. Chauncey Golston after the game, according to Nick Harris, was laughing about the interceptions. I'm not going to lie. I didn't know I intercepted it at first. I'm running and I'm like, oh, I got the ball and my shoe gone? It was a little crazy, so I got out of bounds and didn't do anything.
I feel like Chauncey Golston must be a listener to the morning show. Because we're talking about how he's played well, but he's not making enough splash plays. And yesterday, he's pressuring Jaden Daniels. He's knocking down passes. He's picking stuff off. He has really been way up there as one of their most consistent players on either side of the ball this year.
Fan replay brought to you by Ciroc Vodka. Bobby, who else was on your star up list?
Star up to Cooper Rush. Cooper Rush played really well. Cooper Rush was better than Jaden Daniels yesterday for pretty much the entirety of the game. Now, was there any of this deep down the field 40-yard shots other than the Jalen Brooks one? No, there wasn't a lot of that, but he played well within the game plan. There were a couple different ones that I need to go back and find the tape version of, because I don't know that they came across as well on TV. As the press box in Washington is in the end zone, so you get kind of an end zone view like you would on tape, and there were a couple of those that he threw that I was like, that was a gutsy throw. There was one to Lamb that he threaded between two different people, and there was another one I think he had thrown to Tolbert that was similar. So I thought Cooper Rush was really, really good yesterday, and he made a lot of checks at the line of scrimmage. Way more command of the offense yesterday than he's had the first two games.
Overshown, by the way, had that pressure on the Golston interception. Mm-hmm. You could give him a star up. RJ Ochoa with the notes. Overshown had a career high 5 pressures and a sack on 13 total pass rushes. So that's a 38.5% pressure rate. That was his 5th straight game and 7th overall this year with multiple pressures. Most among all off-ball linebackers in the NFL. So that's DeMarvion showing up with a little star up with that pressure.
I mean, the speed that he has.
Crazy.
It really is. You if you could find a way, always when they're healthy, I mean, they got to be healthy, obviously. But when him and Mike are on the field at the same time, I mean, that is just, it's got to be, especially if you're overloaded in one side at the spot. That's got to be a brutal thing for the quarterback to have to deal with.
I think Mike is definitely faster, like long speed, like if you run 47. But if you're just talking about quick burst closing speed, like Overshown is right up there with Mike in terms of it happens. I don't think quarterbacks are just like expected it. When he closes that quickly, I think it really rattles him.
My star downs for the game, besides getting the win, although it feels nice in the moment, these BB snaps. BB and Rush. Give me the opposite of Malone and Stockton. Give me
opposite of Malone and Stockton.
Luka and KP.
Yes, that's a good one. BB and Rush are the Luka and KP of snapping the football to each other. The 2nd and 10 turns into a 3rd and 22. Luvu had 2 tips sitting there disrupting things. 3-yard, but it was, I'm sorry, I'll get to that in a second. It was multiple BB snaps. And then the amount of tips that were happening with Rush, with Luvu disrupting things at the line of scrimmage. There was another high one in the 4th quarter. They just can't. It's either Rush mishandling or BB going high. So star down for their exchange. Star down to Tyler Guyton. Holy crap. Death, taxes, and Tyler Guyton committing killer penalties in crucial moments. He had the hold on the Lamb conversion on third down. It was a humongous gain. It was a third and long. Now, I did think, let me back up. I thought that was a bad call, but then he had the formation penalty right after that where he wasn't lined up correctly. So I did think he got screwed on the call with a replay, but then he follows it up with another brain fart in terms of the way he lines up. It's so frustrating.
Yeah, and I didn't see a lot of discussion about this on Twitter live in the moment. So I don't know if they covered it on TV or not. Did they talk about him getting benched?
Yes.
On TV. Okay, because that was...
Next play, Awesome Richards.
Yeah. That was not it. Dude, Guyton, I don't know. Like, it was even more than I had thought. I just looked at the snap counts. He was on the bench for 20 snaps yesterday. Like, he was out of the game for an extended period of time, and it's one of those things where they didn't after the game say, well, you know, Tyler's banged up. Right? Like, it wasn't one of those type of things like they've done in the past. This is... They're going through a correction phase with him. There is the only person who has more penalty flags thrown on them, because some of them have been dismissed or offsetting. The only player who has more flags thrown on them this year is Laremy Tunsil. Guyton has 16 flags in 11 games this year. He's just been really, really tough.
You know, not to the Guyton situation, but I got another star down. Look, yesterday you can't really complain how, for the most part, how Cooper played. I mean, he played okay. There were some times where he didn't, but he was all right. But if you're going to put Trey Lance in there, will you let him at least do something other than hand off?
It's so predictable. It's like I told you my flag football college analogy last week. When the Cowboys do something different, unique, or tricky, it feels so basic and so just, all right, here it is. We're going to check this off. Y'all want Trey Lance? Here's one play. Yeah. Here's our package. And everyone in the District of Columbia and the state of Maryland knew, the whole DMV knew, he was like running it there.
Yeah.
Everyone knew. And then, all right, let's go out for
a play.
That's
my conspiracy theory.
Very annoying.
They set him, like, my conspiracy theory is they ran him out there with a play that they knew would get negative 3 yards. Because, like, oops, see, told you. Why even bother? I think they're putting him in positions where it's like, see, it doesn't look very good, does it? Back to Cooper Rush.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's my theory. It's my dark conspiracy theory.
It's so bad. Like, if you're going to put him in, let him at least do the read option and he take it. You know, like, at least let him do that. Let him, other than just hand it off.
They don't want to. Mike McCarthy doesn't want to run a college offense. He doesn't want to run triple option. He doesn't want to run read quarterback play. He wants to, and he doesn't feel like he can throw the ball with Trey Lance, which I understand.
Yeah, he wants to be a,
because he'll throw it to the other team pretty consistently, as we saw in training camp.
Trey's a bad fit as a backup with this offense.
But if you wanted to run an option offense, you would probably win more games the rest of the year. It's just, I don't think he wants to run that.
Superior coaching coaches another system for the player.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to adapt and change and adjust to, say what you want about Bill Belichick, right? If Bill Belichick had to go to Trey Lance in game 8 of the season, the offense would look completely different and adjusted and adapted to his skill set. That's what special, awesome, fantastic, superior coaching gets you.
Yeah. And, like, if Cooper gets hurt, I mean, Mike would do that. I don't think, but, you know, Trey is a bad fit as the backup right now because he runs a completely different style. It's like imagine going from somebody who's like, you know, who's a mobile quarterback to a statue. And it's just, you don't have that kind of offense. You know, you may not even have receivers that do that.
All right, Micah Parsons after the game, defiant, saying, told y'all, like I said, we ain't done yet. He tweeted that on X. Are they not done yet? Cowboys' next four games. Giants, Bengals, Panthers, Buccaneers. What is best case, worst case, and what is going to happen? In that, I see 2-2.
It's best case.
You beat the Giants and Panthers.
There's a chance.
No, I'm not. You lose to the Bengals and the Buccaneers, and you beat the Giants and the Panthers.
Yeah. I think that they're either going to go 3-4 or 4-3, counting yesterday. Because I know, yesterday, they'll either go 3-4 or 4-3 the rest of the way. Because they will beat the Panthers and they will beat the Giants. I think they also beat Washington. Again. The biggest star up of the day is that there is not. It is still a two-horse race in the NFC East in future years. Because Coach Bro, the second half of Coach Bro, was in full effect yesterday. And Jaden Daniels stinks right now. Stinks. It's not because of him. It's Coach Bro that's helping. But this is, I mean, you went back. You can go back to Texas Tech. And you see what the second half, the last 10 games of his seasons are. The last 5 games of his seasons.
I heard somebody call Cliff Kingsbury. They said he's got a daylight savings time offense. As soon as we fall back, his offense goes to hell.
BetQL had a host on there, Nick Ashu. Do you know who this is, RJ?
Bless you.
Nick Gesundheit, who's a DC fan, goes off on Kingsbury after what happened yesterday on BetQL.
I'm sorry. But everywhere he's gone, Cliff Kingsbury has melted down in the second half. Texas Tech falls apart. He had a losing record as a college coach. Somehow gets an NFL job. What, because he's handsome? Okay. Look at this. Look at the meltdowns they've had in Arizona. 5-3, fall apart. 7-0, fall apart. Oh, because he looks like Ryan Gosling? No, he doesn't. Ryan Gosling's way more handsome than him. He's the Walmart version of Ryan Gosling, and he's the Walmart version of an offensive coordinator. Send him back to Thailand where he belongs. Go back to Bangkok. Jeez. This is your effort at home against the Cowboys on a 2-game losing streak.
I believe it's the Temu version. They don't really say the Walmart version.
Is this because Kingsbury went on vacation there? Was that a getaway? He went to Thailand with his girl?
That's right.
All right.
So
that's where that came from.
Let's go back to 2013. This is the end of his seasons, dating back to Texas Tech. 2013, lost 5 of his last 6. 14, lost 4 of his last 5. 15, lost 4 of 6. 16, lost 6 of 8. 17, lost 6 of 8. 18, lost his last 5. Falls up into the NFL. In 2019, loses 7 of his last 9. 20, loses 6 of 9. 21, loses 4 of last 5. And in 2022, he lost 9 of his last 10 games. That is the end of the year. It has never changed from the time he got to college in Texas Tech in 2013. The only one that ever bucked that trend was Johnny Manziel.
Bobby, Athlon Sports had a headline. Source says Kingsbury to audition. I always get very wary when I see single quotes, not two quotes, to audition for Cowboys job with Jerry Jones. Does this sound legit? That
you said it was who? What outlet?
Athlon Sports.
Nope. It does not sound legit.
Does it not sound legit that the Cowboys would be like, all right, we're interested in Kingsbury?
I think they might. I don't think it would be an audition of sorts. So, no, I wouldn't look at it that way. I think that they would talk to Cliff potentially. And maybe they would even come around and say, we'll hire Cliff Kingsbury. I don't think they would do that. But, like, I mean, I know there are people, Jerry, Steven, I know they think well of Cliff. But, no, yesterday this was not any sort of an audition for Cliff at all.
Speaking of roaming the sidelines, did you run into Jay-Z yesterday?
I did not. I saw him down there, but I didn't get to actually run into him.
Dez was down there and then trolled everyone in their booth. Who was rooting for the Commanders, and Dez just put that video up live. And who was the Fanatics guy? He was giving the double
Michael Rubin.
Michael Rubin, the white party guy. He was giving the double middle fingers.
Yeah, Jay-Z probably had.
Because I think Rubin's tight with Harris. Is that the Commanders' new owner?
Yeah, Harris. Yeah. 12 security people around him?
Jay-Z?
Yeah. It's like, I mean, it's like 2 deep around him, just walking around him the whole way. And then when photos need to be taken, they'll kind of open up in front and then they close back up and they move as a group together. So he's got deep security, but
it's like in Troy the movie where they all put their shields up and they gotta walk.
That's what. And so they're blocking him, they're protecting him. I mean, a lot of people in the DC area probably feel like they need that, but he was out there hanging out. Micah, the only Cowboy who went up and talked to him. We were trying to take bets up there, like who would be the first to walk up the end. We all kind of thought it'd be Micah.
Is it now 2 quarterbacks in New York that are finished? Daniel Jones and Aaron Rodgers, Dallas Mavericks update as well. And this NFL insider humiliated by Kevin Costner. All that next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.
Burks going to one corner. Butler breaks free. Dunked it! He dunked it with 4.3 left to tie the game at 114.
There's the call. A little Mavericks action on Heat TV. But Dallas loses without Luka Doncic. Man, that was bad defensive execution at the end of this game. With Miami getting a bucket, Jimmy Butler ends up being one of the heroes as he scores 33 points. Kyrie had 27, PJ 21. And you got 20 from Najee Marshall, but the Mavericks still lose. They're 9-8 on the season. And Jason Kidd's catching a lot of heat for having Spencer Dinwiddie in the closing moments. He finished 1 of 12 from the field.
So I was on the plane when this game was going on. And so I didn't see the majority of this game. I saw some little clips and stuff like that. Following the timeline was absolutely hilarious to watch the just chronological order of people going like, hell yeah, Spencer Dinwiddie, to Spencer Dinwiddie, I hate your guts. What are you doing on the court? And it's like, oh gosh, that turned really quickly. This has not been a great reunion yet with Spencer Dinwiddie. No. from the way he had played when he was last year.
They had won 4 in a row, and they'll look to split the road trip tonight in Atlanta to take on the very likable Trae Young, RJ. This is going to be on NBA TV. Although I think NBA TV even blacks me out.
Yeah, it does.
When I go there,
it blacks you out. Yeah.
What's a Monday night game?
Local.
We got a good Monday night game to focus on.
Baltimore and who?
And the Stars play tonight.
Is it Denver?
Well.
Baltimore and Denver?
Yeah,
Denver
won
Baltimore
yesterday.
Baltimore won over the weekend, and they deserve to. MoneyPuck.com said the Stars deserve to win over the weekend.
Ravens, Chargers tonight. Oh, the Harbaugh Bowl. That's right. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that is a good one.
Trae Young, though, is he the best villain in the NBA? Considering he's
Draymond still.
Oh, Draymond, yeah, but like,
I mean, people.
Trae can play a little bit. Draymond can't.
Like, play the character or just somebody who everybody universally hates?
Yeah.
Universally hates would be Gobert.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, he's a villain to his own teammates.
Now, how about play the character?
I don't know. Does Ant play villain sometimes?
Nah. No, it's Gobert, Draymond.
Draymond's still the...
Trae at the Garden is great.
Trae at the Garden's great because he told the Knicks fans to... Well, I see these Knicks fans leaving the exits real quick. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff like that.
It used to be Kyrie.
Yeah. And now Kyrie's talking about contract extensions. We can get into more of that tomorrow. Let's finish up with the rest of the NFL. Daniel Jones granted his release by the New York Giants. We're waiting for him to go ahead and clear waivers. No one's going to go ahead and pick up that contract. And it has completely fallen apart also in New York with Aaron Rodgers. You got reports that Woody Johnson, he suggested him being benched after week 4. Diana Rossini is now reporting Rodgers said 10 days ago he wants to play in 2025, does not want to play for the Jets.
Right, because his Douglas and Saleh are gone. So he doesn't want to play for them, for somebody else.
It appears increasingly likely they will place him on IR or bench him over the next few weeks, per Rossini. Mm-hmm. Apparently, a Boomer Esiason suggested in New York that Rodgers is playing with an injury, but people are saying Rodgers doesn't want to get any scans. He doesn't want to sit there and get the testing to confirm
MRIs,
something. Yeah.
He doesn't want that. Look, if they're gonna release him after the year, I mean, just go ahead and bench him now. Just bench him right now. If you're gonna do it anyway, you're not gonna make the postseason. Find yourself into a better draft pick if you have to. Tyrod's their backup.
These poor Jet fans.
Jordan Travis is Jordan. I mean, he's not ready to play. I guess.
No.
He may never be ready to play. You never know. But I mean, just if you're gonna move on from him, just do it now. Let's do it now.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel a little bit like...
Where's he going to go? Where's he going to play? And they going to pick up Daniel Jones?
Yeah, right? Who gets picked up first?
Daniel Jones or Aaron Rodgers? Daniel Jones will get picked up before the season's over, I would guess. But, I mean, it feels a little convenient for Aaron Rodgers to be like, yeah, they blew out my guy. So now, really, after all the reports come out about them wanting to shut you down, I can't remember.
No, your better question, by the way, was not who gets picked up first. It's who would you rather have?
Who would you rather have?
Next year. You have to have one of them for the season. Daniel Jones or Aaron Rodgers. You got to take into account injury.
Probably, if it's just for a year, probably still Aaron Rodgers.
I'm going to say Aaron
Rodgers.
Because, I mean, Aaron, like,
he's a pain in the butt, though. Holy cow, is he a pain in the butt.
Yes.
It's gone sideways. Like, it hasn't been good this year, but it's also not, like, the worst quarterback play in the league. He has not been... He doesn't look just completely... It's not like Peyton Manning in his last year where Manning, like, couldn't throw anymore. Like, it hasn't reached that point where his arm's dead, but It's just not very good. It's not what it once was.
So if they want to bring him back, his cap hit next year is just $17 million. Right? So you can put a good team around him. But it increases after that with void year to the point where it's upwards of $35 million, over the next couple of seasons. $40 million. And now they've got to sign Sauce. They've got to sign Garrett Wilson still. Breece Hall if they want to.
Other games yesterday will fly through. Vikings beat the Bears in overtime, 30-27.
Did Chicago score 10 points in 30 seconds in this game at the end?
Yep, they got an onside kick. They recovered one.
17 points in the fourth quarter.
And that was a hell of a throw from Caleb to get him into that field goal position. Caleb's played pretty... He's made some big-time plays in the last couple weeks, and then he's just been let down.
Lions handle the Colts in Indy 24-6. The tag team of Gibbs and Montgomery, just too much. Detroit is 10-1.
They're
6-0 on the road.
They're just like...
Oh, right, just setting
they're
up, right?
No prisoners.
Are we just setting up a Detroit Philly NFC Championship game?
I mean, it would be a significant upset. Like right now, I don't know if you go to Detroit in the playoffs. I don't know a team. Maybe Green Bay. Like every other team, I think is a 6-point dog.
I've felt so much this year. Like, and now it's looking less and less like San Francisco's even going to be able to make the playoffs. But that was the one concern I had for Detroit this year, was the idea of if they get to the playoffs, would it be a situation like it's been with Bama and Georgia in the past? Where it's like, this is the year we'll get them. And then it's just, you get in the playoffs, it's like, crap, they beat you anyway. Like, yeah. I felt like it was setting up for that, but San Francisco may not even make it.
Is Miami waking up a little bit? We discussed that last week. Tua with 4 touchdowns. They destroy the Patriots 34-15. New England is 3-9. Broncos... Story of the second half, one of them, they handle the Raiders 29-19. Bo Nix with 2 more touchdowns. Denver and Sean Payton are 7-5.
Here real quick, you mentioned Miami. This is their schedule. At Green Bay, home to the Jets. At Houston, home to San Fran. At Cleveland, at the Jets. I mean, that's still difficult. There's at least 2 more losses there for them.
Seattle brings Arizona back down to earth. Both of them are now 6-5. The Seahawks win an ugly one, 16-6.
Seattle's played some better defense lately. Like they've been holding some teams in check. They held San Francisco to 17 last week. Arizona 6 this week. They've had a few games this year where they've performed really well.
All right. Seattle's in first place.
Seattle's in first.
They have the tiebreaker. By the way. The two teams in the NFC West with a winning record have a plus 10 point differential combined. The Rams are 1 game under. They have minus 43. And San Fran's a flat 0.
Was it Nacua who they said didn't know he was in the NFC West? Yeah. Pepe, was that from you?
Yes. Yeah, he had no idea till recently. Adam Scheffler put out a tweet that said...
Scheffler?
Yeah.
With his green jacket.
Did he do it from jail?
Yeah. No, that's a lot of players don't know that kind of stuff. It's wild how little
I was not surprised.
No.
I was not shocked, put it like that.
We had talked about this in years past, how surprised we were, where you couldn't, the players couldn't name the other teams in their division or what division they were in.
Hey, Mr. Radio Expert, do you think I could give you a pop quiz and just name the team and you could instantly tell me the division quickly, that easy?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Put away your computer. Jacksonville.
AFC South.
Minnesota.
NFC North.
New England.
AFC East.
All right, you're good.
Very good.
Now do hockey.
Yeah. What the heck happened between Ian Rappaport and Kevin Costner, a.k.a. Mike Malarkey, the former Titans coach?
Dude, this is wild. So, there's about a minute. It's about a minute and a half clip. It's Ian on his podcast. I think it's called The Insiders.
It's on the TV show The Insiders, yeah.
Okay. And it's him setting it up, and then Malarkey's comment, and then Rappaport's response. Now, this all goes back to when Mike Malarkey was fired by Tennessee. And Ian reported the day before that Mike Malarkey is getting a new contract. The next day, Malarkey gets fired. Ian has never been able to figure this out. He got so much grief online for this.
I don't even remember this happening. I don't remember Ian.
Because it was Tennessee. Nobody cares.
It was Tennessee, yeah. This was right before they got Vrabel, right? Yep. It was that right year. So it was 2017-ish. And this is Ian discussing what happened with the report.
After the 2017 season, in the 2018 playoffs, I reported a couple different times the Titans were expected to fire Mike Malarkey. And then I got a tip from a very trusted and reliable source that he was actually getting a contract extension after a playoff run. I reported it. He was fired the next day. It has been one of the biggest mysteries of my entire career. And now it has been solved. Go.
I knew they were going to fire me. So Sunday night, I called Ian Rapoport and I said, hey, I don't know if you know this, but I'm going to break it to you. But I'm getting a new contract in the morning. And he reported it. It was all over the country. I was getting a contract in the morning, knowing that I was going to get fired. But I just wanted to see the faces on the owner and the GM who was out to get me. And I'm pretty sure I got him for a minute or two.
That's amazing.
That is awesome.
That was the Brent and Austin show on Action Sports. You know, those guys yucking it up. Pretty funny. For them, I guess, if you don't care about accuracy and taking someone's reputation and rubbing it in the mud. Everyone said Mike Mularkey's a good guy. He always was to me. I liked him. Thought it was very respectable. That is not cool. That's not funny. I was a younger reporter then, and the amount of online hate and ridicule I got because Mike Mularkey thought it'd be funny to get back at his old boss, it was not fun. So I don't have much to say. I don't blame Mike Mularkey. But I want to. And that was not cool, and that was not funny, and we should treat truth better than that.
Wow.
Go for it, Ian.
A little sanctimonious response. You know, it's years later. You can maybe say it with a smile and a laugh on your face. It's not funny to you. It's funny to everybody else.
It's not funny to everybody else, yeah.
That caused a lot of hell for him. Within that building.
But was there something between those two that caused Mularkey to be like, I'm going to screw him over?
No.
Okay.
Nothing. And so, I mean, you're talking about, that's the kind of thing that can get you, like, that goes into considering your contract. Like, that can get him fired, ultimately, like something that big. Mularkey
for
was,
Rapoport.
Yeah, Mularkey was jeopardizing his job. And Ian's generally not a shoot-from-the-hip reporter. He's pretty good about sitting on stuff. That's been Schefter more often, is where Schefter's gotten burned for just kind of popping off at the mouth at some stuff. And so that is like, I'm totally for Ian doing this because that's BS from Mularkey, who was never going to end up back in the league.
It's just going to come across as whiny.
They're not going to get it.
When we get into our journalistic debates.
Because people don't care.
People don't care.
I don't even think the average fan even knows who breaks story. They don't care. We care way more about that.
Well, we know it's Schefter and Rapoport.
Sure,
it's specific to the industry, but it doesn't change the fact that it was jeopardizing to his job. So if you just want to talk about in real-world terms that everybody understands, this is somebody who doesn't understand your job potentially screwing you out of your
position. Or not caring.
This is where Ian would have to, he would have gone to his bosses and said, dude, like, this is the deal. Like, I'll tell you my source. It was him.
Yeah.
That is one of those, I know ESPN loves to do the, hey, you got to have two, you got to double source everything. If Jerry Jones texts you and says, I'm selling the team, you're not double sourcing that.
You're right.
You're just going to run with it.
Yes.
Whether you're right or, because like, you can always say, hey, look, I wasn't wrong. The owner told me that. Like, what do you do?
But you were wrong.
I know, but like, what are you going to do? It's like, you got lied to on purpose.
I guess the only counter back from the boss is you're not credible enough for them to think that you are above a joke. Like you're not good enough as a reporter. They felt like they could mess with you or do that. I agree with you, but I guess I would come back and be like, well, now that you're a punching bag and he felt like you were that for a reason. So you got to go.
I think Mularkey also had burned bridges elsewhere and didn't have many options left and also felt like, I'm not going to end up back in the league anyway, so what does it matter if I blow up this last one?
More star up, star down, back to the Cowboys win over the Commanders. Bobby Belt was there. That's next in Below the Belt and talk about this freaking pig that he's so obsessed with. Bobby's mascot doppelganger maybe next in Below the Belt. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
And the kick's away. And the kick is wide left. That came off his foot going wide left.
Let's forget about the game and talk about the real story yesterday.
That I finally blocked you, and it was so liberating.
Major Tutty. Was it the hat over the heart? Is that when you wanted to block me? Is that why would Tutty put his little Major Tutty hat, his little commander, his the infantry hat or whatever he's got there, his little battle cap. He put it over his heart, stood at attention for the anthem. Because we know it from last week, you told us, you don't take the cap off. You don't do hand
no,
over the heart.
I didn't no, say I didn't take the cap off.
No, cap over the heart is what it is. You'll take the cap
no,
off.
No, hand over heart, stray hand. I said Michael Strahan shouldn't have had no apologies. Get it right.
Well, Major Tutty got it right, and we'll talk about him more in just
Bob
a second.
BC.
We'll talk about him more in just a second. But before we do that, I got to remind you guys that this segment is presented by A Number One Air, and we need to run through some more star ups, star downs. If you want to give them on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorneys fan text, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. Star up a guy who maybe we'll have some post-hut clarity about this tomorrow. I thought TJ Bass played really well at left guard. Like held his own in pass protection, opened up some lanes in the run game. Like, he looked really stable. And that was a exceedingly late scratch with Tyler Smith. That was not one that I think that there was a lot of anticipation that he wasn't going to be able to play. So the fact that Bass gets in there, plays well. The Cowboys have always felt like he plays better on the right side than the left. And so to step in, have to play left guard, I think he played really well. I don't know how it came across on TV, yeah, how the pass protection came across in general with the line, if you guys felt like they were competent or if it was
decent. There was mistakes, obviously. There were snap mistakes. There was penalties. But just if you were just break it down, just a pure protection, I didn't think it was the worst I'd seen from this team all year.
And I think a lot of that was scheme. Like, it was schemed up to try and protect the quarterback a little bit, get the ball out quick, do some different things. But in general, I thought that the offensive line as a group played better. Now, I'm going to give a star down. A lot of people were trying to talk about, this is what we need. We need this. And I like the guy, and I like him as a player. Like, Brock Hoffman needs to stop trying to get into a fight every other play. Like, to the point where he's lucky he didn't draw 10 flags yesterday. It was every single time there was some sort of pushing and shoving. And I know they said Frankie Louvu threw a punch. I'm betting there was probably some buildup to that punch. It wasn't just Frankie Louvu go like, hey, Brock Hoffman, come here. I want to punch you in the face. It was Brock Hoffman he's the enforcer. He's the guy who comes in and he immediately wants to make his presence felt. You like some of that? Mike McCarthy at one point, I think it was after the Louvu punch, you could see McCarthy getting kind of irritated, like, because Brock Hoffman had stayed on the field to argue with Commanders players and they're trying to get the punt team on there. And they're like, dude, you need to get off the field. Like, let's get the game going here. But Hoffman plays with some toughness, plays with some nastiness. It's a little too aggressive at times. And I don't know if it came across that way on TV, but it felt like every other snap he was getting into a fight.
No, I couldn't tell on television.
He was getting into an argument or something was wrong there. Start out for Ezekiel Elliott. Boy.
I mean, I don't even remember him playing.
You don't remember the fumble?
I do.
He fumbled the ball. He barely touched it. In fact, I got to look up how many snaps he played in this one. But I remember when he popped in the game, it was like, oh, yeah, I forgot Ezekiel Elliott plays for this team.
Yeah.
Which is star up to Mike McCarthy. Rico Dowdle is the running back now. And we've kind of forgotten about where Ezekiel Elliott is. Now, I'm curious, how did you guys feel overall about how Dowdle played?
I gave him a star up.
Because he's somebody who, I thought it was steady.
Yeah.
But there wasn't anything that was just...
No, I gave him a star. I thought he was good.
Blow you out of the water.
I thought it was a highlight and positivity.
13 snaps for Ezekiel Elliott, 40 for Rico Dowdle. Is that where we want it generally?
How about 50 and 3?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, honestly...
Is Dalvin done? Is Dalvin gone? Where is he?
He's on the practice squad. I mean, somebody can poach him if they want. Nobody seems to want to. But that's where he's at now.
Look, you want a small... Microcosm of this Cowboys season, the way everything went, just for the organization. You get rid of Zeke finally, which you were too late on, and then you bring him back. You bring him back
mm-hmm.
after you had already finally
it was dumb.
Admitted, I mean, that someone on ESPN the other day, I think it was Shannon Sharp, he's like, it's going to take me a long time to understand that one. It's going to take me a really long time to have that make sense with what they did. And he's right.
Yeah. Now,
foolish.
Stubborn. That's exactly what it was. It was just stubbornness. And it was, we asked Jerry about that, was that 3 weeks ago where we asked him, like, do you feel like you're almost romanticizing who Zeke used to be and applying it to today? And he was like, no, absolutely not.
It's like bringing back Ruggie to start him at second.
Do it.
We gave him the contract.
Yeah.
It was a mistake. He didn't live up to it. Banished on over to the American League East. And then let's bring him back and start him.
But now it's a good deal.
Yeah,
right?
Right.
But now it's value.
But no, see, that's the problem is that I don't have a problem if you want Ezekiel Elliott on this team for $2 million. It doesn't matter. Like, that's not going to kill you or cripple you or anything else. The problem is, if you were going to bring him back in a year on this rate anyway, you should have tried to negotiate a pay cut. And I can't imagine they didn't think it was possible they would ever have a reunion with the guy.
I have a problem when that his amount of touches should be going to someone who's just better, younger, yeah, and fresher. So it's not just the money for me. It's like 10 touches a game? In no offensive meeting room or game plan should that ever be brought up or thought about.
Yeah.
10 touches a game for Zeke at this point. It's malpractice.
Which the touches the last 2 weeks have been his season low. 4 against Houston, 3 against Washington. Yeah. So, I mean, look, there's...
The amount of plays is obviously different than the amount of touch. As long as he's not grossly taking away, not even grossly, remotely taking away from Rico. And 3 carries is not really taken away.
No, I mean, that's a series or two off, which is what a lot of running backs need. Like, running backs generally are not going to go out there and play 100% of the snaps. And so I'm fine with him playing that role. And look, they wanted him here in part, which is funny now because given some of the reports we've heard, they wanted him here for practice habits and to bring juice back and to teach guys how to practice the right way and how to prepare the right way. And then we get the reports that he's showing up late for meetings and he's having these issues. And so it's like one of the big reasons they brought him here, the intangibles aren't even there this year. And so I think you're starting to see it's there. Now, he was in a good mood last night in the locker room. Jovial doesn't seem like it's beating him down not to get opportunities the way he was earlier in the season, feeling a little bit surly.
Should be happy he's still employed.
I've got his replacement, though.
Genty?
No.
No?
Better. One major tutty. This is the thing that I was most excited about, Sean, and I know you were most excited about. I was there, set up with the camera. We were talking all morning. We were like, "Where's Tutty?"
He's I don't not even out understand. This is such an annoying storyline. Honest to God, I don't even know where this is coming from. The origin of this, I don't even know the background of your connection or love with him. I don't get it. Do I care. Your segment.
He's an awesome mascot.
So you just love him as a mascot. That's where you first took to him.
He's entertaining. And
he really is a good mascot.
And you pushed back against how entertaining he was. This is where it started, was his debut, the first game he ever had against the Cowboys, where I think honestly, like, that was a big reason why the Cowboys got dog walked that day, 26-6, Dak's worst game of his career. I was tweeting about it, and I was talking about what a great mascot. Look at the energy this guy brings. Whoever's in that little pig suit is doing a great job there. And it was something where you were pushing back against it and fighting with me on Twitter over it. And so I just wanted to, I don't like when people are wrong about things. And so I want to try and convince you and help you to see the light of how great he is.
The sad thing is,
do you think Bobby looks like Tutty a little bit?
I think he kind of does.
Pat Doney was recording me in the press box. I had my head turned, and he goes, "Hey, Tutty!" So, like, then I turned over, and he was like filming me. And
Major Bobby,
because I think you can make a case that Major Tutty really is the best thing to come out of the Dan Snyder era.
Oh, for sure.
Who else do we say that Bobby looks like? Was it Jordan Montgomery or no? Someone else?
No, people kept saying J.D. Vance, and then there was like a pitcher for the Brewers.
Okay, the pitcher on the Brewers.
The Brewers pitcher, that's
which wasn't even there. Now this...
Oh, that was there. Dead on.
I couldn't have picked a better game to go to because they had at halftime Major Tutty's Mascot Mayhem, which I didn't even know what the hell this thing was. But it was fantastic. It was Major Tutty. It was whoever the Oriole mascot is. They had the Wizards mascot. Then they brought in people like the Braves mascot was out there. And they were playing
RJ's kids' youth little league team.
They were playing a tackle football game at halftime against children who were in pads and helmets. And so it was like, you know, they're all running wing tee or whatever they're doing out there.
Wishbone, baby.
And
hogs.
My gosh. Whoever is in that
Joe Jacoby out there.
Whoever is in that suit has no regard for the life of children. Just, I'm talking about it. He gets a carry. He's running the quarterback option. Tutty goes around the side. There's this little 60-pound child running at him to try and make a tackle, grab onto. Tutty takes his hand, puts it in his helmet, and shoves him to the ground.
Man, you got
to
teach him young.
This kid laid motionless on the turf like Austin Eckler. He did not move a bit. And then you get the next round. They throw an interception on the next play. So Tutty's like, okay, I'm going to go over there and make a play. Again, somebody's trying to block him up. Tutty, one hand, shoved to the face, pushes this kid into the ground. And then the kid goes out of bounds, the one who's running back, and he shoves that kid into the kicking net. Like, these kids are genuinely thrown off by, like, what the hell is this little pig doing?
But all jokes aside, you thought it was kind of like, this is too much. This is harsh. How are they getting away with this?
It seemed a little like, I don't think the kids were prepared for how physical Tutty and Tutty alone was going to be. None of the others were. He was going ham, Sean. You like that?
What's the patch on a major? Is that three down? He was just trying to knock three kids down.
I didn't know that's what it was. Yeah, but that makes sense.
How many people on your account care or follow along?
No one cares about Tutty themselves. There's a strong faction of people that love following along with Tutty updates because they know you hate it.
Okay.
And so that exists. Now, I will say, did you not see me pan around the press box how locked in everybody was on the major Tutty?
I didn't look because I blocked you. Did you see? Could you tell that I blocked you? Or just when I sent it to the group message?
Only when you sent it to the group message.
So you didn't try to tweet me and got the message that you're blocked?
No, because I can tag you. Like it's just you won't see it.
Okay.
But you know what that does? I think you had reached the point I've unfollowed enough people over time that I think you were the original follow I have on Twitter. You were. But you blocked me, so that reset my follow list. So now you're one of my most recent follows.
Ah.
So now that's what you weren't considering, what you weren't thinking about. How long was I left blocked for? Was it just for the screenshot?
Yeah.
But did it feel satisfying for a second?
Yes.
That block button, I know everybody says the mute button is the way to go. There is something satisfying about just letting somebody know you're blocked.
And my wife told me, you know, you got to send that one message, that final message, and then hit the block.
Oh, she would love to block me, I'm sure.
No, she's
coming. Has she come around?
Well, let me think. Her lunch with Kristen, I don't know. We might have gone backwards. 877-881.
I did something.
877-881. I don't think Amanda said four words during that lunch. Below the belt on the home of America's team. We need some final Cowboy calls. Are you happy or ticked over the win? And your final star up, star downs to talk about the win in D.C., Maryland, DMV, wherever the hell they call it. That's next. Final hour, Cowboys Monday here on The Fan.